It started life as a farmhouse back in the 1700s. Family by the name of Lucero, obviously Los Luceros, used it as a farmhouse, and it grew over the generations from a one-story, simple one-story house into a two-story. Some people would call it a mansion, a hacienda. It's quite a large farmhouse. Housed a family with 8 or 10 children. And so it needed to be quite large.
Okay, good. And what else was here?
This was a farm. In terms of other houses, other buildings, historic buildings, the one behind me for a short time was used as a Rio Rivas County Jail. Mm-hmm. And just inside the courtyard is the stump of a tree where those who had serious infractions with the law ended their careers.
And so then did the family give up the farm and she bought it as a house? Or
there have been many generations of owners beginning not long after Oñate's time. Transfer of the property became a popular sport in this area. There have been a number of owners down through the years, all of them through one reason or another had great difficulty in holding on to the place. And so it's gone through quite a generation of owners before the Luceros had it, actually, up until modern times.
Okay. And so she may have sort of saved it.
To an extent, you could say she did. She had become familiar with the property before acquiring it, fell in love with the place, and would stay here as she was doing her research on the Navajo that culminated ultimately in the development of a museum dedicated to that work in Santa Fe. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Well, let's go see the house.
All right.
Oh. This for your show, Susan?
Yeah.
The judge's office was right up in the second story there, so
he could fit and watch.
Right. And part of this building was the jail back in that day. And the reason that happened was essentially because the county sheriff lived in a building to my left up here called the Ortiz Building. And with the county sheriff here and space available, this site served as the county courthouse for Rio Rivas County for a few months.
And was it a particularly lawless place?
Well, it was the Old West. By today's standards, people did pretty much what they pleased, and it was a struggle by the law to keep things under control. So, yeah, it was the Wild West. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, good.
It's going to be cold in here. At one time, this was a bathroom. In recent years, I say recent years, and probably the last 40 or 50 years, it had been used as a pantry. But as you can tell, the walls are quite thick. The downstairs walls here are almost 4 feet thick.
Mm-hmm.
The upstairs walls, you'll find, are much thinner, about half that thickness.
Yeah, because you couldn't put that weight on it.
Exactly. So the thicker walls are used to support the weight of the upstairs portion of the house. Plus, it adds to the insulation qualities of the building as well.
Look at that. Can you see the bow? Oh, look. Happy doll. Oh, wow.
An ice box.
Yes, yeah. A true ice box.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
It's in good shape.
The Cabots restored the house in fairly recent years, just before the state acquired it. They put a lot of money in the place, and owner after owner made an attempt to operate the facility, the property, in different ways. The Cabots, who were related to Mary Cabot Wheelwright, tried to develop it as a tourist site, mm-hmm. But that didn't work out.
That's what I heard.
Either. And so there have been various attempts and many owners. At one point, for example, it was owned by a friend of Georgie O'Keeffe, Chabot, Marie Chabot.
Oh, she owned,
The place for a short time.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
But she couldn't maintain it, and so had to let it go.
Oh, I knew that Mary Cabot Wheelwright was the one who introduced Maria Chabot to Georgie O'Keeffe. But I didn't realize that she had owned this place.
For a short time, she did. In fact, the house right across the road is the Chabot House.
Oh.
And it's occupied by myself and a state patrolman at the present time.
Oh, I see. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. She's the one who rebuilt Georgia O'Keeffe's house for her. What a great entry hall.
Front to back.
The house is massive in terms of the way it's constructed, that sort of thing. It's a very solidly built house. But it's interesting that here in the Southwest, where water is at such a premium, water is this house's worst enemy.
Oh.
And we'll see as we step into this room.
Okay.
You'll notice along the baseboards, what used to be the baseboards, water wicks up into the foundation of the house from the ground underneath. That water level is attributable to irrigation. It takes place during the irrigation season. The ground here becomes so saturated that the adobe in the walls and the foundation wicks water up into the walls, and then it causes the paint and the plaster along the bottoms of the walls to slough off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's because we're sort of in a flat place that down by the river here.
We're fairly near the river, but the river itself is significantly below the level of these buildings. A lot of people attribute this problem to the river, but it's not the river's fault.
Oh.
This is from irrigation water, and it's a process that we're beginning to work with now to conserve our water and achieve the same goals of summer growth with much less water than has been used in the past by changing our irrigation methods.
Oh, okay.
The Ditch Association this summer has instituted some conservation practices. Large farms such as this one are only allowed to water on Mondays and Tuesdays, mm-hmm. rather than, as in the past, we could water any time we wanted. There's been no limitation placed on water other than to restrict us to Monday and Tuesday. But it's still an effort to conserve water as an anticipated shortage may or may not develop this summer.
Oh, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are over 1,000 apple trees here on the site. We have, at this point, over 20 acres of alfalfa fields that we're rehabilitating. The alfalfa needed to be replaced, as it periodically does. And then we have about another 40 acres of pasture.
Mm.
It's a combination grass, legume kind of a pasture that we raise for grazing of livestock and that sort of thing.
Okay, and how big is the whole property now?
We have 148 acres. 61 acres are capable of being irrigated, and we have a bosque over 36 acres,
mm-hmm.
and then a large area that is used with, you know, has buildings of one type or another, the Casa Grande, the buildings that Milagro left behind, and other houses, residences and that type of thing, barnyard and sheds and shops and things of that nature.
Okay. And so did Milagro actually build some bunk buildings?
It was a project that was funded by the federal government with the intent of using the site as a film institute.
Mm-hmm.
Governors changed office, and the project is at a stalemate at this point.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We understand that Milagro is still interested in doing that, and we would love to have them. But we would need to come to a use agreement, whereas the site was shared for any number of its multiple uses.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will never be, I don't believe it will be a site that's strictly dedicated to that Milagro effort, ever. They may become a part of what happens here, but that won't be the only thing happening here.
Okay.
These doors are massive.
Let's go upstairs now.
Okay.
Yeah, the stairs don't creak, but the story goes one of the matriarchs of the property died on them one night.
Fell down the stairs and died.
Yeah, whether it was an accident or not, it remains to be seen. But there are those who believe that she's still here. I've not seen her. This is where they held court. This is the Gran Sala, basically the living room that many of the traditional haciendas had. Was used for entertaining friends and neighbors, was used for social and sometimes even political gatherings. They would have dances in here and that sort of thing. During the time in which it was used at courthouse, this was courtroom. But it was the source of entertainment.
And there are two fireplaces.
In a traditional sense. It took a lot of wood to keep a place like this warm.
Yeah.
A lot of wood.
Even though the walls are so thick. Because there's no place to have solar gain, I guess.
Not really much. And the south side of the house was surrounded by big trees, and those serve to defeat that purpose in the wintertime. That's the presence of all the fireplaces. And, of course, there was lots of wood, but it required that there be a lot of employees here. At one time, 12 people worked here to keep the place running.
So are these the art that's around, is that... Was that left by Mary Cabot Wheelwright? Or?
Some of it was. Some of it was brought in by the Cabots later.
Oh, do you know what? Olive Rush did those.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Horses. No.
She did these dreamy kind of horses.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Well, that needs to be preserved.
Yeah. This was... was painted by Olive Rush, wasn't it?
That's a good question.
I think I was told that by, I talked to Lee Armstrong, and I think that's what she said. And it looks like her. What a wonderful room this is.
It's interesting.
Magnificent.
Yeah, if a person could go back and listen to some of the conversations that have been held here,
that'd
be awesome. Truly would. There was a guest ranch near here, the San Gabriel Guest Ranch, that was closely associated in terms of people who visited the guest ranch would also many times come and visit Los Luceros as well. That guest ranch is now occupied by New Mexico State University Experiment Station.
Oh, I thought maybe it was Delancey Street.
Delancey Street was yet another type facility. Back in the day, in that golden age, from mid-20s up until the early 40s, this was a very well-publicized, romanticized kind of an area. People from back east coming out to experience the West, the Wild West, if you will. And San Gabriel particularly catered to those kinds of people, arranged for trail rides into the high mountains and that sort of thing. But they would often share guests. You know, those folks would come here, particularly the more notable guests, Willa Cather, D.H. Lawrence, and folks like that. Mabel Dodge Lujan would come and visit here as well.
Oh, okay. I understand from Lee that it particularly catered to women coming out.
Seemed to be so. And I don't know that was in fact the case, but as a de facto situation, it seemed to. It seemed to cater to those folks. But I'm not sure why that was the case, other than the fact that Mary Cabot Wheelwright owned it, and that was a connection. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. And it may be just passed on word of mouth.
Yes, sort of, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that you say that about women. A lot of women came to this part of the world during that time period, women of note and reputation, and essentially fell in love with this part of the world. You know, New Mexico was a very romantic place to be, and a place where the real West was still visible, and lots of them fell in love with the place and, of course, settled here.
Well, of course, also there's the other cultures that are here that you can see.
Also true. It's a very culturally rich and diverse area. And that's, you know, a lot of people don't really focus on that now, but still very much the case. Or you could step out on the porch. Yes. Your choice. Might need to kind of push.
There's a well.
One of the conditions or the stipulations of the deed are that whoever owns the property has to maintain the viewscape from this building. And so we're obligated to maintain the pastures and, you know, keep the trees trimmed taken down when they die, that sort of thing. We are obliged to maintain the orchards and the fields and keep the place working in terms of the agriculture that exists here. And it also means that the place can't be developed, which I don't think any of us would want.
No.
Yeah.
Great.
The little chapel, people in this part of the world would call it a capilla, belongs to the Archdiocese of Santa Fe.
Oh.
Along with a piece of land that maintains their access to it. And it was built originally by early settlers of the place and dedicated by the Lucero family to the Archdiocese. And a couple of folks are buried under the altar, the donors of the place. But
do they ever come and have ceremonies?
The church is being repaired as we speak. In fact, the gentleman who does that is usually here, but the water level had caused the building to settle on one end, and there was these big cracks that occurred. Well, he's almost gotten those cracks repaired at this point, and they're wanting to get the chapel ready for services again and planning to do that.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I see you have a herd of goats.
We do have goats.
Oh, yes.
And a couple of donkeys. Miniature donkeys. Let's go on down the road to the river house.
Okay, good.